Hi, I'm Tara Lee, and welcome to Starbeing, your cosmic journey to self-discovery, higher consciousness, and spiritual exploration. This podcast serves as a guiding light, illuminating the path to wisdom, healing, and conscious living. Let Starbeing ignite your inner light as we transcend limitations and tap into the universal consciousness that unites and empowers all of us. Welcome to episode 9, The Moon's Influence in Vedic Astrology. It is part of my mission to educate on the differences between Vedic and Western astrology. And a way that I wanted to do that today was to go into the moon, because in Vedic astrology, also known as Jyotish, which in Sanskrit means the science of light, the moon is incredibly important, and actually the Vedic system is a lunar-based system, whereas Western astrology is a sun-based system. And I find this fascinating because the sun has more of these masculine qualities, whereas the moon has more of these feminine qualities. And so I really feel that we're at this point in time where we are coming back to the feminine way. And that's why all these ancient healing rituals and practices are really starting to take off. And part of that, I feel, is coming back to the feminine and the rhythms and the cycle, and you know that comes to a woman's cycle as well. And I feel with the popularity of these now menstrual tracking apps that the next layer on this is getting in touch with the moon cycles. And why I'm so passionate about this is deeply understanding the moon and the moon's placement in my chart was, yeah, really life-changing for me. And I wanted to share a little bit of that insight because I feel in astrology, particularly Western astrology, this isn't given much importance. And it is the reason behind why I do my monthly membership. And this is all about the lunar cycles because they have such an importance in our life. So that's my intention for today. So firstly, as I mentioned, Vedic astrology is a lunar-based system, and we can track this back to the Vedas. And the Vedas are the oldest scriptures of Hinduism, and they date back to over 7,000 years ago. So these Vedas contain a wealth of knowledge, including astronomy and astrology. And within these Vedas, the Vedic astrology within these texts really allowed for this understanding of the influence of the planets on our life and on our destiny. And this is why it's important to speak about the moon, because the moon is the divine feminine, it's the Shakti, and whereas the sun is really the divine masculine and that Shiva energy. And so we say that the sun represents your soul and the moon represents your mind and emotions. And it's really important to know that while your sun sign describes qualities that you're learning to develop and become and step into, and I really see people stepping more into their sun sign as they get older, your sun sign getting stronger, whereas your moon sign shows what you already are. So in Vedic astrology, the moon is the second most important planet after the ascendant placement or your rising sign. And like I mentioned, this is very different from Western astrology because that system prioritizes the sun. So the moon in Vedic astrology represents our mind, emotions, our psychological makeup. It is really our consciousness, our behavior. And so the moon's position in your birth chart, also known as your moon sign, really plays a critical role in shaping your emotions, your instincts, your intuitive abilities. It reflects how you perceive the world, how you process your emotions, how you form attachments with others. And it really also plays a role in compatibility. And so I see all these apps and Western astrologies really prioritizing the sun sign. And that is, not in a Vedic astrology lens, not the way to do it. And when anyone asks me about compatibility, I always say, look at your moon sign and look at their moon sign, because you're going to get a really deep understanding of their emotional nature. And this can be with, you know, your partner, your mother, your siblings, your friends, anyone that is close to you in your life, if you want to have a deeper understanding. And just like the moon waxes and wanes in the sky, our emotions fluctuate and evolve, and it's all cyclical and, you know, changing, like the phases of the moon. And so the moon as well can also have this impact on our feelings and how social we feel. And so this is something to keep in mind, and why I really like to get in tune with the moon. And so as the moon goes from light to dark, our desire, especially for, you know, social activities, where our focus is, if it's more outward, if it's more inward, has been incredibly nourishing to me. And I feel like connecting to the moon is essentially connecting more to the divine feminine. And so this is why understanding that moon placement can really allow you to have those insights into your own emotional needs, your inner motivations, your psychological tendencies, and connecting to that divine essence within you. So leaning into your moon sign can really help you better understand and master your emotional energetics, and also how you feel emotionally safe and secure and nourished. It also can give an insight into, you know, how you want to nurture. And yeah, so I find that so fascinating and why it has been so helpful for me. And the other thing that I find really fascinating about the moon is when it comes to body astrology. So the moon has really important impact on our health, and it has, you know, in Ayurveda, we link our negative emotions to compromised immunity and therefore susceptibility to dis-ease. And so this is why positive emotions are really protective. And so this is just adds that other layer of why it is so important to understand our emotional landscape. And so in body astrology, the moon represents our limbic system. So these are the complex structures in our brain that are responsible for emotions. Also our circadian rhythm and our body cycles, our menstrual cycle, our fertility, pregnancy, lactation. Also our habits, the right eye of a woman and the left eye of a man, our lymphatic system, and also our body fluids. So those are the areas of impact. And when it comes to ailments by the moon, this can look like depression, cardiac problems, cold, cough, and fear, weak eyesight. Those are some of the aspects related to the body astrology. When we look at the moon's placement in our chart, it is best placed in Taurus. This is where it's exalted. It's poorly placed in Scorpio. This is its fallen sign. And the moon rules Cancer. So this gives really good results in that house too. The moon also rules the fourth house, and this gives us good results. The moon is friends with the sun and Mercury, and for the rest of the planets, it is neutral. So the moon actually has no enemies. And so with this, the ways to strengthen the moon from a Vedic lens is meditating on the moon at night, moon mantras, feeding the poor, respecting and caring for your mother. The day that the moon governs is Monday. Its color is white, and it also rules milk and grains. And other ways to strengthen the moon is to really give your emotions a voice, and whether that is writing, drawing, singing, dancing. It's really important that we are tapping into our emotions, because if we're ignoring our moon sign, this energy, this is where we, you know, become misaligned with our deeper truth and our mission. So this is why I feel the moon and understanding our emotional makeup is so important in creating things in our life, because we, our feelings and how we feel are magnetic. And so when we can really learn to work with this in a healthy way, this is where the magic begins. Diving more into the feminine aspects that the moon represents, it represents our mother energy, also our actual mother figures, and how we want to mother ourselves is a part of this moon placement. And because the moon has this feminine nature, it is, and it is, corresponds to our menstrual cycle. And I find it really fascinating that the lunar cycle, which lasts approximately 29 and a half days from new moon to next, this is the similar length to a menstrual cycle, the average length being 28 to 29 days. And so when you start to understand this, you see how especially women are very connected with the moon. And I feel that this has been part of the disconnect, as, you know, we've become not as connected to the natural world. It seems foreign even speaking about connecting to the moon. And but that would have been something, you know, just inherent that you did, that you were connected to. And so I feel like this is coming back now. And so, you know, this menstrual cycle, and this is something that, you know, I've only in the last decade really understood deeply. Before this, I had no idea that the menstrual cycle was connected to the moon. And, you know, perhaps you are just discovering this as well and really using this as a beautiful tool to tap into, because I found that at first it was easier to connect with the moon, connect with the moon cycle, and then understand my cycle. And so, you know, and many ancient cultures, the Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, they all believed in this connection, like I said, with the moon and a woman's fertility. And, you know, they often had ceremonies and rituals around this, really to honor that connection and to harness that energy for fertility and healing. And so just quickly mentioning that the most common cycle is the white moon cycle, which is linked to the new moon. So this means that if you're a white moon cycle, you bleed around the new moon. And this is also known as the dark moon, and then ovulating around the full moon. And this is a traditional cycle that is reflective of Mother Earth, because the full moon is when the earth is at its most fertile. So that makes sense that the full moon in this cycle would be when there is that ovulation time. And this is more of a time where a woman goes inward, is really connected to her intuition. And so this is where she is, yeah, really aligning to herself. Whereas, and this is typically someone that is, you know, wanting to start a family, is focused on nurturing and in that phase of life. And then second to that is the red moon cycle. And this is also known as the wise woman cycle. And in ancient times, these were the women that were the priestesses, the healers, the oracles, more like the witches in the village, that wisdom comes from, because this is the contrast to the white moon. And so these women were more focused on channeling their energy more outward. And so they were giving to others. So, you know, this is like a different stage of life, but you can sync up to both of these. And it's really interesting to identify when that is happening and what is going on in your life at that time. And so really honoring and identifying with the lunar cycle really helps us to connect deeply and, yeah, understand how our needs, how we want our needs to be met, and understanding where your moon placement is in your chart, your emotional need, what makes you feel safe and secure. And yeah, emotionally as well can give us so many insights. And so with this, the sign of your moon, it indicates what you need to feel emotionally safe, secure, and nourished. It really describes the nature of your emotional self. So that is one aspect. And then the other aspect is looking at what house your moon is in. And this is the area of your life where you seek to be nurtured and where you have these gut instincts and how you express yourself emotionally. So looking at your moon sign, looking at your moon house, and really as an invitation to you to connect and to embody your moon sign and activate your moon energy. And this is a really good opportunity to, you know, get in touch with your desires and what your moon aspect energy is wanting, what it needs to be, what it needs to feel safe and to feel satisfied, and thinking about in what ways you like to be nurtured and cared for. So for example, I am a Virgo moon, and so Virgo as a sign is very practical, so really liking organization and structure. And so this is why I've come to understand why routines are so important for me, and this is where I thrive. And so that might not work for everyone, but you will notice if you're in my world that I am very structured and that I like things very orderly and decluttered, very minimalist. That is how I function the best. And so as well as that, Virgo is also the sign of Ayurveda, and there is that focus on health and wellness. And so for me in my life, there's always been this prioritization on my health and, you know, physical and emotional nourishment. And so for me, it's very important that I have healthy eating habits, that I'm doing regular exercise. This is what I know is good for my overall well-being. I feel so much better when I'm doing these things. And so understanding that in this Virgo moon placement is so important. And then as well as Virgo is very analytical, like self-reflection. And so I really benefit from practices like journaling and meditation and having space to really process my emotions and really identifying where I can improve. And Virgos are problem solvers. They want to come up with solutions. And there is also this service practical aspect of Virgo as well, which is really how I show love, is through helping and solving problems, and really that act of service. And this is where it comes from. So you can already see like how just unpacking this a little bit can really help you understand yourself on this emotional level, and then look at ways that you can really support yourselves with tools that work for you. And you know, we're all so different. And so obviously what works for me won't necessarily work for you, but this is the curious and exciting thing to look at, is what really resonates with you. So I really want to encourage you. I'm going to put a link in the show notes of a Vedic astrology calculator, so you will see where your moon placement is from a Vedic perspective, and then be curious, look at where your moon sign, what zodiac sign it is in and what house it is in, and then just break it down by looking at those two elements. So I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please leave a rating and a review. This is always so beautiful and helps this podcast get more reach and expand. And lastly, I want to let you know that I have released my Vedic astrology calendar. So the Vedic New Year began in April 2024. And so I have created a resource for you that shows where all the new moon and the full moons are happening, what dates for both the northern and southern hemispheres, and in Vedic, what constellation they're happening in. So you can really tune into this. So that is also including when we have eclipses and other significant Vedic dates, also when we have retrogrades and things like that. So that is going to be available for purchase until the 31st of May 2024. And so I'll leave the link below for that. And yeah, this is a resource that you can print and really start to get in tune with how your emotions are as you track through the lunar phases. Do you notice that you are more social around the full moon? And is your energy draining a little bit more with the new moon, the dark moon? And this is incredibly helpful, because especially when you're planning things in the future, and then as you get more data on this, then you can sort of understand how each of the zodiac signs is like flavoring as well. And, you know, really using this as a journal to track your emotions and your mind, and really leveraging this, I think it is yeah, such, I hope it is such a helpful resource. And yeah, and very lastly, I'd love to hear from you. So if you did love this episode or you have any questions for me, please contact me on Instagram. That is where I am most active. And until next time, sending you lots of love.
Thanks for tuning in to Star Being. May the wisdom shared resonate in your soul. Until next time, stay connected and keep reaching for the stars. This is Star Being signing off.